Oh my goodness gracious. Hello, this is Gunn from the podcast The Indefensible Middle Ground. Gunn Sully Sullivan. I'm going to do a quick Top 10 Tuesday, and then I need to dump on you guys the Wiretap Wednesday that Tech and I squeezed in last week, and I just never got a chance to post it. Tech never had opportunity to post it because he's underneath his compound. I think he's still trapped there from the last Ecuadorian tremor. I think he's in a mine collapse underneath his compound. So hopefully he'll be able to have his drones use the drill bit laser head thing, diamond cutter drill head, and be able to get him out of there. I'm on the other side of the planet, so I won't be able to help him with that. Thoughts and prayers. All right, let's jump in here. I want to talk about event organizing because, you know, that guess why I didn't have a chance to submit my articles and podcasts. So organizing and event frustrations. This is my top 10 list. Now, I just kind of threw this one together. I would love for anybody who's organizing an event, whether it's a birthday party or a full-size ticket event. This is specifically for tickets, but I want anybody to toss in stuff that I'm leaving out. And sometimes these seem a little redundant because they're from the other side of an issue. All right, so number one, not getting responses from advertising. Excuse me. not getting responses from advertising. You hand out flyers to people. They say, okay, thanks, I'll put this up in the window. Never hear from anything from anybody. You put out, we probably put up hundreds of flyers for a charity dinner, and you feel like you never hear anything from those flyers going up or the ones you hand to somebody, and they say, I'm going to talk to my wife. I really hope to come. But I need to, I'll get back to you, and they never get back to you. So yeah, that's the number one frustration. How many dead flyers you pass out. that also makes the one flyer out of the 100 that you actually get people to show up because of super awesome. So that's something. That's the bright side to number one there. Number two, getting responses from advertising personally, but verbally, no purchase or RSVP. So when you are advertising or talking to someone and they say, I'm going to be there. I think this sounds awesome. I totally am going to be there. And then they don't follow up an RSVP online. They don't buy tickets. What do you do with that? Even if you wanted to try to include them, you don't know what food option they were going to choose. So you're kind of just stuck with that in the back of your head going, I know 10 people said that they were definitely going to come, but they never followed through on it. So were they just lying? Did they get busy? What happened there? Number three, getting a confirmed RSVP without a ticket purchase. Did they forget? Do they think it's free? There's all sorts of questions going through your head then. The way we do it nowadays, of course, you do kind of social media saturation, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, the ticket sales online through Eventbrite. There's a couple of different places to do ticket sales. I like to use Eventbrite. And basically, you'd have somebody RSVP on Facebook but not purchase tickets on Eventbrite, which makes you go, are they planning on paying extra cash at the door? Because, you know, we got to charge extra the day of because you're screwing up the catering estimate. So yeah, all right, moving on. Number four, trying to figure out if you should continue advertising or if you might have a full house. Let's say you can only fit 45 people comfortably in the venue. You've sold 20 tickets and you've had 25 more people tell you, I'm definitely going to come, but they haven't RSVP'd or anything. So you're kind of stuck with the, should we just stop advertising? But then if we stop advertising, what if only 20 people come? So a very confusing catch-22 there. Number five, people who show up last minute skewing your catering numbers. At the last event, I had an awesome caterer who said, literally, if more people come at the last minute, we'll make you more food. If less people come than the original estimate, we'll make you less food. And so we basically told him we weren't going to order until the event started. So, you know, people at the event would be eating salad, and then we'd go out and pick up the food. And he's like, that's perfect. It won't take us but a few minutes to get your food ready, which was incredible. Shout out to Red Hot and Blue Laurel, Maryland. Amazing company. But nonetheless, it was super stressful because you had people coming in expecting to smell barbecue. And when they don't smell anything, they're like, hey, what the heck's going on here? So, yeah, we had... And I'm glad we did that because we had about 10 more people than paid tickets in advance show up. So that skewed our numbers just enough to make it confusing. And it was awesome that we had such a great caterer. Lessons learned there. Find the best caterer you can find who's willing to work with you. That's all I could say. Number six, people who paid but don't show up. This one isn't a bad thing. This is actually kind of a good thing because for the people who skew your numbers one way, they'll skew the numbers the other way. But it just leaves you going, why didn't they show up? That would be a few more people to show up in pictures and fill the hall out a little bit, fill the venue out a little bit, add an extra element of cool schmoozery amongst the people. But they didn't show up. I think we had three altogether, people who paid but did not show up to the event, which was kind of shocking. I mean, you figure if you pay for something, you're gonna be there definitely, but I guess not. And I guess they had good reasons, but we missed them at the event. But it's like I said, it's not really a super bad thing because at least you got their money. It lowers the overhead of the overall event. So there you go. Number seven, speakers who don't show up. This one's bad because if you have a speaker that's specifically supposed to talk on a subject that you might know a little bit about, but they know everything about, and they could field questions. Like let's say you're trying to advertise for the Honor Flight Network, which is a charity organizing outreach group that helps senior citizens get to see the monuments that were erected for the wars that they were in. They fly people in from all around the country, American veterans who served in World War II, Korean War, Vietnam. They show them They give them a tour of D.C. and show them the monuments. They honor them in D.C. It's a spectacular thing. Tech and I's grandfather was honored by Honor Flight, which is really cool. I have now told you everything I know about Honor Flight. If somebody asked me a question saying, hey, what about blah, blah, blah? I couldn't answer that. I just told you everything I know about it, which, yes, that might be more than the average person knows, but I can't be a speaker for Honor Flight because it would be a 1 minute speech with no follow up questions. So we didn't have an Honor Flight speaker show up. Well, okay, clarify. We didn't have the Honor Flight speaker that was supposed to show up, but instead had kind of a random Honor Flight speaker show up. So it all worked out in the end, but there was some obvious concern that, I was going to have to go up there and wing it. And thankfully I didn't have to do that. Number eight, technical difficulties. This is a big one where, at the event, we just wanted to have some light music in the background. Our thought was we could have, piano guys playing in the background, which, if anybody has heard of them, or if you haven't heard of them, look them up. They play some great classical music-sounding covers of modern songs. So while people would be schmoozing, me and my friends who organized the event would be going, huh, is that Fall Out Boy? And, we, you know, it's a fun thing to do to kind of help you zen out and calm down. Picking soft music that you like. Well, we had picked the music that we liked. For some reason, my Wi-Fi failed. My buddy's laptop wasn't connecting to Amazon. There was just one little problem after another that prevented us from having just this simple music choice, which nobody cared, but for us, there was an element that was missing. Very frustrating. Technical difficulties can be the thing that kind of ruins your night. Thankfully, everything else in the event turned out wonderful, but technical difficulties. If you're dealing with a larger venue and you have sound system issues, you deal with sound system issues like your microphone's not working, there being a squeal, that can ruin an event for people. And Tech can attest to that because he's worked a soundboard a few times in his life. So he knows kind of every bad thing that can happen to a soundboard with a microphone set, with people being too rough to mic, stuff like that. Technical difficulties probably should be number 10 on this list. They should be in the place of horror, not honor. But 8's pretty high. 9, an awesome turnout when you weren't expecting that at all. This is another one kind of like number 6. It's a bad thing only from the perspective that it causes an internal issue with the host. And that issue, of course, would be stress. You're kind of stressed out. You have a little bit more to show off now. You have more pressure on you. But it's not a bad thing in the long run. You're actually doing great. It's a good thing. It just adds a huge level of stress. We had the mayor and two city council people show up. I think 4 police officers and a military person show up. All of them were in uniform. It was a spectacular, unexpected crowd. It was cool, but of course we didn't know what we were expecting from the ticket sales versus the RSVPs versus the verbal promises. So, fun stuff, having an awesome turnout when you weren't expecting that at all. Number 10, having the wrong amount of food. Now, I mentioned the caterers before and how that can work and how having the best caterer is a thing. But even having the best caterer, you can still wind up with too much extra food. Which I say too much extra food is better than not enough food, but you're still left with this, I can't believe the event's over and there's so much food left, which means we could have saved money by not ordering as much food, but it's too late now. So there's that. You will have overhead issues that are frustrating, and that's that. That's what you have going on. That is organizing an event for me. Excuse me. Please comment on Reddit or on this on WordPress your issues with organizing events. Just let us know what's gone on. Share a horror story, an event horror story. And yes, I wanted to go ahead and give a little shout out to the Wounded Warrior Project, the Honor Flight Network, the Laurel City Government, and the Laurel Police, and to Sweets and Treats Creamery, Laurel, Maryland, and as I stated before, Red Hot and Blue. Absolutely awesome people. And of course, Knights of Pythias, Laurel Lodge number 155. You guys are awesome. Thanks for hosting such a great event. Now, without further talking about the Top 10 Tuesday that I probably should have done last Tuesday when I was in the heat of this, now it's time for the Wiretap Wednesday that Tech and I recorded last week, and sorry for the delay, and keep talking it out. Gun out. Stay tuned for Wiretap Wednesday, episode 102.
This call is now being recorded.
Hey, this is Gunn in Washington, D.C.
And this is Texalian. I'm literally burning in hell at this very moment.
All right. Well, how's the weather? How's the weather in hell?
It's surprisingly humid, actually. it's not a dry heat.
Yes.
Yeah, I am in the hell of what's called preparing your house for sale. Every day I get up at 6 a.m. and go to work. Every night I work until midnight. My bones are breaking, my back is hurting, and everything on me is covered in paint or calluses.
Wow.
So, well, yeah. But, hey, it looks like a fantastic house. It's coming together little bit by little bit. I'm just, at 10 o'clock tonight, rushing to a store that rhymes with Rome Depot to pick up more Loctite.
Well, good luck, and good luck and Godspeed, sir. Yeah, I can only imagine the horrible amounts of stress you're under, and I empathize with you. Let's ease your mind by talking about horribly stressful news stories. How about that?
I focused on the positive this week. There was, I'm blanking out on the country though. What is it, Madagascar? The king of that country basically called for the diaspora of his residents to reject extremism wherever it may be found. And I gotta give him props. That's a wonderful sentiment.
Yeah, that is.
Don't be an extremist.
Yes, don't do the. Yes. Yep. Sorry, I just got distracted. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, that is a positive news story. Is it a predominantly Muslim country?
Yeah, definitely. Although in America, most of our crazy lunatics, you got a better chance of being shot by some free citizen person than Muslim currently. Although just this week in Virginia, there is somebody who yelled "Allahu Akbar" and stabbed two people.
Yeah, I would also like to point out the fallacy in the statement you just said there, that you're more likely to be killed by a free citizen. Those guys have such a low body count compared to, you know, average random person shootings or argument got too heated shootings. If you wanted to call those people who get in bar fights and shoot up a couple people in the parking lot, predominantly Christian, that might be an argument, but yeah, the free citizen thing, that is such a paranoia thing. I had one of my buddies was going through police training, and they basically did nothing but find sovereign citizen videos to make them essentially paranoid of white people.
Well, sovereign citizen, it's a scam. They charge you money and tell you how you don't have to pay the government money. And what then happens is this is where most of the violence occurs with them. Once it comes time to pay your taxes and you don't pay your taxes, there reaches a point where federal marshals show up at your house, and these guys have defended their sovereign property and fired at federal marshals, sometimes hitting them, and the federal marshals, they got a posse behind them. So,
yeah, it's never going to be a big shot.
That's where your body count comes from. And interestingly, the sovereign citizen scam, and it is a scam, they have been heavily marketing to the Spanish immigrants, Spanish-speaking immigrants, Mexico and any other countries that are coming in. So they've been doing the sovereign citizen shtick and getting these people to give over money they don't have, or their whole family's money, to these sovereign citizen things to help them declare as a sovereign citizen. And so it's not just the standard stereotypical lily white cracker with a gun and a Bible. It's also people of all color and nations, because it's a scam, and scammers take money.
Well, and it's I guess it's kind of smart that they're going after Hispanic immigrants, because if you're an El Salvadorian gang member, you're all about your right to bear arms, and you cross two borders illegally to get here, so you probably aren't caring about what federales think in any country. So it's a good way to separate an MS-13 guy from his money. Well, you know, more power to him. I just hope they get their money seized by the government at some point.
Well, but it's not. I'm not saying illegals. I'm saying immigrants. People who have immigrated to this country legally are getting tricked out of their cash.
No, that's bad. I misunderstood
that. That's my point.
Yeah. That's one of those things. They get scammed any which way coming. That was one of the reasons why the Kazir Khan story went off real quick, is because he appeared to be one of those guys who was scammed. Because there is a path to citizenship. It's a very long and arduous path, and a lot of lawyers and attorneys and fellow immigrants will scam new coming immigrants into paying a whole bunch of money to them to become an American citizen or to get their green card, which
that's honestly almost an American tradition. Google Ellis Island scam, and I mean going back to the dawn of this country, there has been people preying on those people who are absolutely, and that's, I've never understood scammers, because very few of them go after the ultra wealthy. You know, they go after the people who barely got two nickels to rub together. And I don't understand. Sorry, one second. Recycling here. Cool. Thank you. Okay. It's a failure of mine trying to ascribe my morals and worldview on people that do not have either.
Yeah. No, it's a weird concept. That was the concept I said about hypocrisy. When you try to say everything that's good for me is good for everyone else, it's trying to project your morals and your world view onto the rest of the world. It doesn't always work. They said, okay, so you want the majority to pick all the laws in a country. What if the majority are Holocaust deniers who don't want anyone who doesn't look like them living next to them and doesn't want women to have rights?
Yeah, you're running
the majority. Yeah, the majority of the country feels that way, and so you want them to have the beginning and end of their democratic process is just them. Now, not being a total jerk, I think a lot of countries would be fine if they had a parliamentary thing, and then there would be a constitution that would protect the people.
Parliamentary funkadelic.
Yes.
You got to give me that. I'm so dead tired.
Yes, I give you that. That made me giggle on the inside and filled me with warm fuzzies. Let's move on to some more fun issues. Immigrants getting sprayed on by terrible people. That's pretty dark. Somebody's softening up on immigrants. Have you heard about Donald Trumpo's change? It's really not that much of a change. He always said that he was okay with immigrants. Obviously, he married one He just was against illegal immigrants, which, you know, from a legal perspective, it's not. I never quite understood why any country should be for, like, why anyone should be for illegal immigration. I don't understand. I think we should fix the immigration problem at the moment. But yeah. we literally have the Democrats reacting to Donald Trump by going, I'm for illegal immigrants. So we don't have a country then. We literally don't have a country anymore. And, you know, the whole thing, oh, Donald Trump said build a wall. That's racist. Boy, if that person thinks a wall is racist, boy, a building is practically a Klan rally. Look how many walls are in it.
Hey, I mean, the way he phrased the whole thing was a little on the, you know,
well, yeah, okay.
Side.
When he said they're sending their criminals, their rapists, people went and transcribed that and changed the there that he used from T-H-E-I-R to T-H-E-Y apostrophe R-E, which is not what he said. He didn't say that all Mexicans are rapists, which is, it's just childish to do that, too, to go, oh, well, he said there, so I'm going to spell it this way and say that he was saying they're rapists. They're all rapists. And that's, do I think he said it in a tactless way? Yes. I hate it when Donald Trump talks about serious issues. Because whenever Donald Trump talks about a serious issue, it sounds like something Donald Trump is saying and not a serious issue.
Well,
that's why
he's a reality show star.
Everything he says sounds kind of silly.
He's not even really all that good a businessman.
So, yeah, that's why I kind of hate... As much as I've been harping on how horrible Hillary's obvious overt, if your eyes are open, you can see that she's done a whole bunch of crimes. But when Donald Trump talks about it, it then just sounds silly. And I feel like that's his point. He's just here to make everything sound silly. Serious issues like Hillary Clinton being the physical embodiment of political fraud, when said by Donald Trump, just sounds silly. And it's like, he's just ruining all these issues that are really important issues. And that's what somebody said, when these issues come out about Hillary, they need to put Donald Trump in Trump Tower and keep him there for a few days so he doesn't say anything to distract the news cycle from the real news, which is all the bad stuff Hillary's been doing. And Hillary's been doing some really bad stuff. It's one of those things where when you look at the landscape of crime and corruption that the Clintons have embodied for years, which basically the concept of political corruption Hillary Clinton embodies through all the cronyism, the favor, Travelgate. Travelgate is one of the worst things. If anybody wants to look that up, you see Hillary Clinton had people who had worked for various presidents for many years. She had them all fired so that she could have her Hollywood friends come in and get the nice, cushy government jobs and parents' IDs and stuff like that. And she gets to hang out with celebrities all the time. Well, when the people said, hey, you can't just fire us, Hillary Clinton had the guy framed for crime.
Yeah, I would be okay with firing somebody, bringing in your own people. That's kind of expected with any kind of changeover.
Yeah.
Framing somebody with...
Yeah, she tried to have him arrested and thrown into federal prison just for not calmly fading into the night and letting her hang out with Hollywood people. So he goes to court and is proven innocent. Like, he beats Hillary, no consequences to Hillary. And this is, we're talking, how old are we? This was back in, what, 92? So, yeah, this is, Hillary Clinton was doing horrible crime things back then, and it just continues from there. You've got the, where they even got busted and had to pay a massive fine for all the campaign finance fraud they were doing in her Senate campaign. And the news is just like, no, Hillary Clinton's never done anything wrong, ever. No, no. It's all just a part of effort.
Hey, here's the thing. Even grading on a curve, because it is our campaign system is admittedly really wonky in a lot of ways. You can't give over, what is it, $10,000, but you can have your mom, your aunt, your pet poodle all donate $4,999 each. Corporations are people, PACs are people. Like, well, we have weird stuff in our campaign finance system. And,
well, that's one of the reasons why Dinesh D'Souza said that he is the dumbest criminal. That was his statement about him getting arrested for donating to a campaign. He's like, so many people donate to campaigns and they just do it in a slightly more shady way. They do it in a slightly shady way, but since I just handed the money over, I go to prison.
What?
I must be the biggest idiot.
And you know I'm not a Dinesh D'Souza fan, but had he set up a mini pack, he could have handed over millions of dollars scot free without getting busted. What he did is he didn't play the game the right way. He handed over money, and I mean, you know, I think he's an intellectually dishonest goofball, but you know, he also got busted for something that everybody else does.
Yeah, it's
But it dawns on me, you don't want me ever defending you. I am always damning with faint damning whenever I'm talking.
Just a second. I gotta get back in my phone here, and I have to take a picture of my food because I'm on a certain diet. Yeah, no, it's not an Instagram thing. It's a diet thing. It actually.
Speaking of Instagram, did you see? I had the sexiest vegetarian meal you have ever seen online.
Oh, I need to take a look at that.
Yeah, and that was indecent exposure on a plate. It was just hot and sexy vegetarian food. It was a baked potato with mirepoix and cauliflower and broccoli baked in it. Everything was just soft to the fork with a little bit of cheese on the top. Yes, I'm one of the vegetarians that eats cheese. But it was a fantastic meal. Completely filling. It gave me the energy I needed to work until midnight on my house that night.
Because
I'm in hell.
And I would like to quote Scott Pilgrim. Homo lacto vegetarian, maybe.
I don't eat anything with a face.
Yes. So
was that the guy that played Superman?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, he's also on the show Arrow. I really should learn that guy's name.
I wanted to talk about some of the fun stuff that we've been doing on our various social media accounts. Facebook, we had a great post up there the other day about, Occupy Democrats. The Occupy Democrats posted a thing where it shows Obama. It shows great leader Obama. I have to say, I can't wait till we have a less popular president, because this whole president worship stuff is just creepy.
I'll be glad to have the good news is no matter who wins the next presidency, unless by some miracle it's Gary Johnson, I will hate the person. So it's going to be fun that almost all of the nation hates whoever's about to win.
Right. Yeah, so we'll be able to
talk
about the office again. And, there's a movie coming out about how Great Leader found his spouse. And Great Leader has the greatest love story of all time. And if we could only follow in footsteps of Great Leader, the workers could all be satisfied in their work. Kim Il-sung's music starts playing. I'm just stepping around for the giant portrait of Obama.
Although that reminds me of one thing that does irk me. Whenever you put a picture of something that looks similar to something else and then declare that means that person agrees with that person. There's pictures of Hillary Clinton wearing a very Kim Jong-un-ish looking frock of some kind. And I'm like, okay, yeah. Yes, there's some marked similarities in what they're wearing, but I highly doubt that.
If she's anything like Obama, she wants people to worship her, and there are people who want to worship her, just like there are people who presently worship Obama.
5 minutes within taking office, she'll be firing drones at them anyway. So I mean, it's not like.
Yes. Yeah. Well,
as soon as she gets the Nobel Peace Prize, then the
drone campaigns begin. Yeah.
Exactly.
I was mocking Obama in response to Occupy Democrats saying, Obama has all these credentials, and if you think he's stupid, that shows more about you than it does him. And it's this sassy post about their great leader, and here he is in educational gown, you know, the what's that called? Graduation gown, yes. So,
yeah.
And I commented going, no, I say he's stupid because he does stupid things. You know, like funding both sides of a proxy war. Everyone blindly says everything Obama says is accurate. Well, if everything Obama says is accurate, he says that there's good rebels, Sunni rebels, who we are helping topple the Assad regime in Syria. And those rebels are not ISIS, by the way. So if you believe that the rebels that we're training and giving money and guns to are not ISIS, but are good Sunni guys instead and are trying to fight Assad, desperately trying to fight Assad, and the Assad regime is bad because they're backed by Iran, and Iran's bad, right? That's what Obama said, and then what does Obama do? Says that he just helped Iran get some of their money back. He helped Iran get a few billion dollars back, you know, because that's what you do. You just help people out, right? Okay. You shouldn't do anything to help the guys you're fighting against.
Hold on, pause for a second. I gotta go through a line here.
Going through a line. Text going through a line. Text being a rude guy on a cell phone and a line. God, he's actually being polite. I'm just singing this right now. I know, I gotta be really, I gotta have the self, yeah, I'm really important, yeah. Yeah, this is gonna go on iTunes later, that's how important I am.
Uh-huh. for the donuts I bought are called BFG donuts. That's awesome.
Home desk.
Yeah. 1,000, I think. Maybe later. It's not 1,000 yet. Oh.
Thank you.
Hey,
the kids are going to just do some daily lives in the morning. Thank you.
Did you tell her that you just really love to huff paint?
She said, yeah, just coated in paint, head to toe. I look like a crazy person.
Oh, I forgot you were getting Loctite. Can you tell her you really like to huff glue?
No, I'm actually at the second store because my kids are basically locusts. They ate all of the food for the week, and it's Wednesday.
Yes. Oh, but to my point, would you fund both sides of a proxy war? Like, you personally openly state that it's your personal policy to fund both sides of a proxy war. Would you do that as a smart person, Peck?
Yeah, see, that would be a dumb thing to do.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. I mean, he is far more educated than I am. He has been to college much longer than I have. Yes, he is definitely an educated professional. And he is also being told things by...
I don't think it's the being told things thing. Because I hear that excuse about why Donald Trump does stupid things. Oh, he has bad advisors. Hitler.
The thing people say about Donald Trump is he has no advisors.
Yeah. Well, okay, but my point is, if he had an advisor, he wouldn't be... I think Barack Obama is smart, as in he has a high IQ or has a large repertoire of educational background, but I think he's fundamentally a contrarian, and he is decidedly contrary towards Republicans. And Republicans say, hey, the Muslim Brotherhood is a terrorist group because, you know, all the terrorism that they support. And so the Muslim Brotherhood gets listed as a terrorism support network. And Obama goes, I think the Muslim Brotherhood is good and we should support them. So, yeah, that's what he does. Before that, people said, hey, Iran is really bad to their people. And the mullahs are completely undermining any chance of democracy in Iran. But that person who says that has an R by their name, so he goes, I think the mullahs are great, and the mullahs should be nice to the people. So I'm going to talk to the mullahs and validate their existence, and then I want to help the Iranian government, because I'm sure they're nice. This is one of the...
This call is now being recorded.
All right, this is Ben. Got interrupted talking about Iran and...
Democrats.
What is that?
Yeah, the call dropped.
Yeah. So, but yeah, John Stewart, everybody knows he's very progressive, very liberal, Democrat, predominantly in Democrat in his mindset. He went to Iran to try to show that Iran was an evolved place, that only Republicans are jerks, and they're thinking that Iran was a backwards place that's run by mullahs, and it's actually a good place, and we're just being mean. There's bad people.
your signal's dropping.
He basically stated that he has unusable footage because there's a lot of problems in the country of Iran, and he wasn't even an objectional viewer. He was biased for them.
he wanted to say this is a democratic country, and we have a lot in common with them, and he couldn't do that, and that's why he ended up producing Rosewater, was because of the events that spiraled out of control from there. And if you watch the movie Rosewater, this is another point. I had a goofball respond to my top 10 misconceptions about Iran. He responded to it on Reddit going, oh, well, yes, it is. You're wrong. It's not a myth that they've evolved. They are a modern democracy now. Like, they're not. If you've seen Rosewater, that's a recent story. That's not this guy getting tortured and heavy in prison back in the 90s or the 80s. That's now. That's just a few years ago. Like, this is not a country that's the book Iranian Rappers and Persian Porn. That's another guy who went to Iran to go, hey, Iran's really great. I bet it's just the conservatives in the West who don't like Iran. And he essentially got chased out of the country. He avoided detention, but he got intimidated and was barred from reentering the country. And this is a guy trying to show how good Iran is.
It's when you talk about LGBT rights, they're slightly more progressive than some of the other Muslim countries. They'll if you wish to be gay, they'll perform a gender reassignment surgery on you.
Yeah, so there's no gays in Iran, but there are men and women's bodies, which are. Women in men's bodies, and the government will help subsidize that in Iran, but
that is so antithetical to our thinking.
Well, it's one of the things that's one of the reasons why I'm not quick to embrace the whole transgender movement, is because that's what the hyper conservative mullahs in Iran have come up with as the alternative to gays. So, oh no, don't be gay. Be a transgender, so we can chop you up and put you back together, and then you can get married. So it's like, it's still the binary sexual structure.
I take the libertarian view that, hey, it's your body. If you want to do what you want with it, and if you feel that. If you feel that, hey, you shouldn't have a ring finger, then that's your choice.
I'd like to have my ring finger surgically removed, please. That's how much I'm afraid of commitment.
It would solve so many of my problems, that's for sure. So what I wanted to rant real quick because I am proudly going to, as some say, throw my vote away for the Libertarian candidate come November. But I think it's ethically the only choice I can make. Jill Stein, head of the Green Party, the candidate for the Green Party, is a doctor, and she has been kowtowing because – extremists left and right, you're far, far right, like your InfoWars conspiracy theory. There's mind control drugs, the chemtrails kind of folks. Loop all the way around. If you go all the way far left again, you get people who believe the same stuff. You know, Monsanto is putting mind control drugs in their GMO food. And so Jill Stein has a huge chunk of those people as her base, and so I am a parent of an autistic child, and it has been proven that Andrew Wakefield had a bogus study where he was supposed to actually be studying gut motility, and unethically took samples from autistic children at a party. He was being paid £800,000 to debunk or to demonize the MMR vaccine, so that way his vaccine could be marketed. And so that all began the whole vaccines cause autism nonsense that just plagues us to this day. It won't go away. And people will gladly believe one discredited nut job and disbelieve the entire rest of the universe that says, hey, no, these things don't cause harm. As a matter of fact, vaccines have cured polio. That's the reason why you aren't wheeling people around in iron lungs anymore.
Hey, I just want to say a quick sidebar real quick. Vaccines do cause autism, which is why in order to be able to know where to put things on Reddit, I got a bunch of vaccines recently. So now I'm way smarter at computers because that's how all things work. I read it online. I'm sorry, please continue.
That's not how this works. That's not how any of this works. Anyway, somebody asked her do vaccines.
But so you were saying how they cured polio.
No scientific what's that? Well, there's no scientific evidence that vaccines cause autism, but we should do more to support autistic parents. And as an autistic parent, I got to tell you, I spend more a month on therapy than I do on my mortgage, than I do on my car payments. And the reason why is because my son he's Rain Man. He's too high functioning to qualify for assistance things, but he's definitely not able to function in society as it exists now. And that's when you talk about Reddit, there's a group of on the Asperger's group subreddit there that are militant, like, SPs are the best. If there, the one guy this week said, if I had a pill I could give everybody to make them an SP just like me, I would. And I'm like, okay, you know, we talked about it before. My son had cried for 45 minutes because I turned the television on before the week. You know, this is not, it's challenging being a parent of an autistic child, even a high-functioning one. And my heart goes out to the ones that have the low-functioning one. But the whole vaccines cause autism thing is just a red herring that's really putting lives at risk. People can die. 1 in 1,000 die from the measles. You don't die from having a kid like mine. And it's offensive to me when people say, I'd rather have my kid have a 1 in 1,000 chance of dying than being like yours. I mean, yeah, I got some challenges, but he's a special kid, and he's going to light the world on fire because he's freaking brilliant in the areas he can focus on. So, you know, somewhere down the future, great things are going to happen for him if I can get him to be a functioning member of society. That's what we do all the therapy for. And so it's and so Jill Stein, where she initially in her tweet said, there's no evidence that autism is caused by vaccines, but we need to do more for autistic parents. I was like, yeah, okay, rock on. That's fantastic. I would love to see her on the debate stage have the opportunity to say something like that. But she immediately took it down, so we need to help autistic parents. And I'm like, parents of autistic children, and I'm like, okay, and there's phrasing problems in there too. If you're supposed to say child with autism, not autistic children, but anyway, that's a side right. rant, and it's, you know, that's political correctness gone amok. You know what I mean, and I know that you aren't trying to offend me if you say parent of an autistic child, and I probably even said it myself
you said you were an autistic parent because you're really tired. I know what you meant, but
I guess
some people are like, well, he's autistic and he has a kid, all right, well, good for him. So
I've taken the test. I scored high but not borderline.
Yes, you're not autistic, but you do think a beige phone with the word green scene written on it is hilarious.
Hold on. You're breaking up. You're breaking up. All right. I have literally 60 seconds left.
Okay. I did want to say about misdiagnosis. Racism is always a huge diagnosis that is on the internet. And a lot of times they'll be putting a camera in the face of a mentally ill person who will be saying things, you know, going on Tourette's rants, and then showing that video to the rest of the world going, see, there's so much racism.
Terribly.
And I do want to say, yes, there's plenty of racism in the world. Please stop showing clearly mentally handicapped people and essentially cyberbullying them. I don't know what's going on with the
phone
connection.
Broke up for almost an entire
Let's hope Google has heard us talk. But I'll see you online, bro. All right, keep talking. And
I think the call better dropped.
All right, bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I heard that.